are listening to Right Back At Ya, the 2000s pop music podcast, with your next weekend love, David Lim, and myself, Joel Babington. How are you, David?
I'm good, thank you. I want to be someone's this weekend love, if possible. There's still time.
I mean, there's still time, but like, I'd like to get a couple of hours in with you, please.
Yes.
You know, we've got a lot to talk about. And I haven't been able to... We haven't got time in with each other in forever. So... How are you doing, David?
I'm good. I'm just like, do you know what? I'm just getting on with it. Just adapting, being grateful for what we have every single day, and just being present. Just being here.
Present. Well done. I'm hibernating for winter, as you can see. And yeah, it is about just being present. And I'm just trying to not be hard on myself all the time. But we are here.
Take it moment by moment. I'm not even saying day by day now. I'm just saying take things moment by moment.
Moment by moment. And I'm just happy to be here with you. Obviously not in the same room, unfortunately. But really looking forward to just getting back to us talking about pop music.
And there's been so much great new releases
there
recently.
Has been so many releases for pop fans. You know, the world might be turning to shit, but we are getting fed.
We are feasting at this time. The Blackpink album came out. Mariah's Rarities came out. Rasheen Murphy's album. Annie.
Melanie C's new album, Melanie C. And what a fantastic album that is.
Oh, stunning. Like, this is a real return to form. Like, this is just, come on, Mel C, give it to us.
You know, it's just confidently delivering a brilliant body of work. No desperation, no trying to impress anyone.
Mm-mm.
Just saying, this is it.
This is it. And big fucking congratulations to the MC for cracking the UK Top 10, her first UK Top 10 album in 17 years.
And I just want to say, and hopefully some of them will be listening to this episode, but shout out to Melanie C's fans. They really went hardcore. Spice fans and Mel C fans really went for it to help Mel C get into the top 10. And job well done.
Job well done. I got my copy of the deluxe CD. And, you know, I've been raving to you offline about some of the tracks on the bonus disc, which she hasn't put on streaming yet. One of my absolute favorite songs on the album, Into You. Like, honestly, so worth it just to get the deluxe edition, just so you can enjoy that. So well done, Team Melanie C. Like, really brought it home.
And I mean, from one MC to another, we have been feasting not just audibly, but, you know, literally as well with Mariah Carey's memoir.
Talk about the first book I've read in a long time.
Well, I had to put it down.
Darling.
So I could swap it for another memoir, The VB's Learning to Fly, in preparation for today. But I'm looking forward to jumping back into MC once we stop recording today. A lot of people have been listening to it and reading it at the same time. So oh. I'm thinking of maybe doing that when I return to the book.
I don't know if I can concentrate like that.
Hit you at all angles, darling.
Well, do you know what? I don't see why not. I watch telly with the subtitles on, so I can read and...
You can read,
yes. I can read and consume media at the same time.
Yes. And also, not only is the Blackpink album out, but their Netflix documentary, which I loved watching.
Oh my God, yes.
I sat at home, I watched it on my own with a takeaway and a bottle of wine. And it was just so many fond memories of me and you at the Blackpink concert, running through Wembley Arena to our seats, getting told off by staff, running through with screaming young girls and us.
We were like the old gay uncles on the road, right?
Right. So, David Lim, what are we here for today? Obviously, everyone knows because they've clicked on it. But what are we here for today?
So we are celebrating 20 years of the Spice Girls' last studio album, Forever. And we absolutely could not let this milestone go by without celebrating it, because we are named after one of the album tracks, in case you haven't noticed.
Right back at ya.
Track 4 on a Spice Girls 2000 album. Like, that is the most us thing ever.
It is the most, and that's why we picked it. I would say this is kind of the misunderstood Spice Girls album. And there's so much to dive into, and I just really hope we do it justice today. I just want to say justice for forever.
Hashtag justice for forever, because I think at that time of this album coming out, I did feel a great deal of confusion and a little bit of mixed feelings, because sonically it was speaking to me, but everything about the vibe, I don't know, it just didn't sit 100% with me. But 20 years down the line now, I can definitely say I love it. And it's probably, dare I say, the Spice Girls album I listen to the most today.
I think for me, where I was slightly younger than you, I was still clinging on. And I was still, yes, I knew it didn't feel and look quite like the Spice Girls we knew and love, but I'll buy anything the Spice Girls touch. So it didn't really matter yet. I didn't allow myself to think none of it quite sat right, or I couldn't not process it. It was just like, holler's banging, I want the album, done.
I still love the Spice Girls. Let's get into it. Yeah. I mean, not to make it sound like therapy for both of us, but this is our kind of reconciliation with forever.
When I was a kid, I would get albums, but I would never really listen to the album. I would just listen to the singles because I was an idiot. and so even though I had the album and I had to have the album, it then sat like, so the first two I did listen to in complete bodies of work, and I would still go on record to say Spice and Spice World, you treat it like one complete body of work, 20 tracks, one complete body of work. This album I didn't ever really listen to, and I have had to re-find it as an adult. And I enjoy it more and more with every listen.
If you're like us, that maybe didn't really think much of Forever before, or, you know, harbored some ill feelings towards it, it's time to recheck that. It's time to hit refresh and dive in, because we're going to go through this era together, from Goodbye through to the album coming out and what happened around that time. So this is going to be a full immersion. I can't wait to get in the time machine with you, JB, and go back 20 years.
And while you're with us, don't hit pause, stay with us, but get onto the internet and hit pre-order on the Spice Girls Forever vinyl.
Yes, that's right. Isn't this the first time ever it's coming out on vinyl?
First time ever, and we both hit pre-order straight away, didn't we, David? Now, it is meant to be out on November, but there's rumblings that it's getting pushed back to January. So look, I can't wait to get it in my hands, and
they better
not cancel it. They won't.
Oh, they can't. They've just, yeah.
They've taken my £20. They better not be cancelling it.
So listen, before we go any further, we just also want to say thank you so much for all your support and all your love for our Mystique episode, because that, just the feedback and just the love from everyone has just been extraordinary. And also, big thank you to everyone who's been leaving 5-star reviews for us as well on Apple, because that kind of shit helps, guys. We've been told.
It really does.
I just want to read one of those that we got recently. This one is by Dre826. And it says, always a nice listen. Enjoy their chemistry. Fun to go back in time and learn things about some of my favourite pop stars that I didn't know. So thank you very much.
We're happy to be of service. And like the Spice Girls, we hope to be here forever.
Forever. This is going to get tired. We're not
even into
the album yet.
It's not going to be the last album. We will be here forever. And, you know, it's better than ever. David, let's get in our time machine, and we're going to stop off at 1998. Before we even get into the journey of Forever's beginnings, do you know what the original plans for the next stages of the Spice Girls were after the second album, David?
This is when they were still with Simon Fuller, right? These were the kind of rough 5-year, 10-year plan.
Roughly, Simon Fuller's plan for the Spice Girls / the girls' plans, because, you know, they are the masters of their own destiny. They were going to do a world tour. Off the back of that, they were going to release a live album of that tour, which I would have loved. I really wish we had. Now, apparently they did record the masters of this, but it's all very, you know, vague.
Interesting.
And then the plan for the third album was it was going to set them off as solo artists and also just show them in their own light. Whether it did mean going off to be solo or not, it was going to show them all in their own light as five individuals that can also come together as the Spice Girls. So that album was due to have solos on it. So just one song that could be all Mel C, or a song that would be all Emma. Duets on it, so just to sort out, you know, a track with the two of them, and covers, which potentially could have been quite naff, but I'd love to, you know, have the option of it. And Simon Fuller's intention was to have a second movie as well. So obviously, you know, during this tour, they sacked Simon Fuller. That is, you know, the definition of girl power, taking charge of their lives. And then unfortunately, Jerry did leave. We, you know, I'm not emotionally ready to like really get into that again.
It's still raw after 22 years. Yeah.
But, you know, those two things kind of halted that original vision. And changed
and set them off on another course in destiny.
Changed destiny and set them off into another course, which is what we have today.
As we said in our Solo Spice Girls episode, between Jerry leaving the band and the end of 2000, in that 2.5 year period, there were 21 Spice Girls related releases. So, you know, this period of time was the start of things getting really crazy busy. And wedged in the middle of that was the Forever era.
So shall we speed forward to the end of 1998? The girls have had a very successful year, a very, you know, explosive year as well, but successful.
Oh, explosive for sure. Yeah.
And they are releasing the Christmas single, their first without Jerry, Goodbye.
Let's go back to July 1998. While they were still on tour in America, the girls recorded Goodbye in Nashville. So, early version of Goodbye was written with Jerry, and it was meant to be like some sort of breakup song, but they went back and rewrote it after she left to kind of take on the meaning that it currently is.
It was originally written with Jerry in mind as a tribute song to a something terrible had happened, a mass shooting or something.
Right.
And that was the original concept behind it. And I think it either just didn't get finished in time or moved on. And then Jerry left and they picked it back up again.
The Spice Girls flew Richard Biff Stannett and Matt Rowe out to Nashville, where they were on tour, to redo the song in the studio, rewrite it, record it, etc. So it was done in America there. But we don't actually see it until December.
It was history making. They secured their third Christmas number one in a row. And I had to have it. I had it on my cassette Walkman. I got it as a Christmas present that year. And I had it on my cassette Walkman.
Oh, nice.
It was probably as a kid as well. It was the first time I was like, wow, songs have meaning.
I love it. I have to say, Goodbye was the first Spice Girls CD single I owned. And throughout the course of the last few years, somehow I've come to own 3 to 4 copies of it. Like, just, you know how I like to like just go on eBay and just like find old CD singles and probably spend a fortune more than what I should. So over various courses of time, I've bought Spice Girls bundles, or like have rescued CDs from places, and Goodbye was always a copy that seems the most readily available. Like, it was always in one of these bundles. So now I have 2 copies sitting in my living
room. One of which is from me, thank you very much.
Yes.
That was the first gift I ever got you, I think.
Oh, thank you. What a gift of friendship.
I know, when I was still trying to like buy your friendship.
Here's a copy of Goodbye that I found in the bottom of my closet.
No, I bought it specially online for you. Thank you very much.
Did you, darling? Yes. Oh, thank you.
That's very sweet. You, darling? Thanks, love.
There are 2 different versions of this single. The one that we always see is the classic white backdrop with the girls with
their beige
head and shoulders. Very chic, very classic. Has the cover of Christmas wrapping on there, featuring only Mel C and Emma, because Mel B and Victoria were pregnant and couldn't get around to recording.
Which I didn't realise until I was an adult, when I was like, oh gosh, yeah, of course.
Now, the one I haven't really seen around Joel is CD2 of Goodbye with the children's drawing.
It's so rare. It's like as rare as the... I think it's for charity. But yeah, that's as rare as like the Jerry Viva Forever. You know, they all had individual covers of their like mini Spice fairies.
Yeah.
And then there's a Jerry one, which is really rare.
Oh.
And people keep selling fake ones online for a lot of money. Don't get, do not get conned.
I see you looking at me when you say that. The one most likely to pay 60 quid for Emma's Cricket Sing for Anna Maria CD1.
And I'm not there now to stop you.
You know what will happen. After a bottle of wine on a Friday night, I'm on eBay. Go on, then. Paying £107 for a fake Viva Forever single. That is going to be my, that's going to be my fate. I can just see it.
You have to call the bank. I mean, I don't know what happened. This wasn't my purchase, obviously.
Can you imagine once this episode comes out, I get like, you know, 16 different types of private messages on my Instagram.
Yeah. From like those fake female bots, but the Spice Girls CD seller version.
Hey, do you want this rare copy of Jerry's version of Forever?
Yes, name your price.
£107, sure.
Bargain.
Yeah. What's your PayPal?
Yes, so this was a monumental success for the girls, breaking the record, or I don't know if it was a tie or whatever, but three Christmas number ones in a row. I think maybe they were the first people to do that since the Beatles. Mm. I don't know. The Spice Girls did it. That's all that matters. And it really showed, you know, look, we're still here, a strong unit. We're still the Spice Girls. And they used, you know, what had happened kind of in their favour, you know, use the narrative, put it into the music. Huge UK number one, David. Huge. And, you know, charted everywhere around the world. 11 in America, which is fantastic.
Yeah, debuted at number 11 on the US Hot 100, which is massive, yeah.
3 in Australia, 1 in Canada, 1 in New Zealand, thank you, New Zealand. 1 in Ireland.
Number 5 in Malaysia.
Really? Number 5 in Malaysia.
As I said in our Solo Spice Girls episode, my mum was very emotional when she heard this on a radio. This came out just before we moved, a couple of months before we decided to leave Malaysia for Australia. So she was like, she was listening to this at the petrol station and she just started crying because she was thinking about all her friends that she's going to have to say goodbye to when she leaves Malaysia. So this song will forever be just super special in that memory for me for that particular reason. But good to see chart at number 5 in Malaysia. I mean, I didn't even know that we had a singles chart, but there you go.
There you go.
It sold 380,000 copies in its first week. It was certified platinum within the first 4 days of sales in the UK. So big up.
Nearly 900,000 copies in the UK.
And most of them are now apparently on eBay. So
in your bedroom.
In my bedroom. Also, we have to say shout out to this Digital Spy review by Nick Levine, who did a reappraisal of Spice Girls songs when the greatest hits came out. And he said, best of all is Goodbye, the supremely elegant ballad that became a post-Halliwell Christmas number one.
Best of all, Nick? Best of all? Is Nick quite a, I mean, obviously this is a very good friend of yours. Is he quite a ballady kind of guy?
I don't know. I'm not really sure. But I think we can't beat the quality and the sentiment of Goodbye. I think that's what makes it so special, you know, such a pivotal moment in 90s pop culture. It really could have been a very elegant final single, a farewell, a swan song, if you will. But the girls had other things in mind and they weren't just going to be bundled up in the 90s. They were going to push forward with a third album. So what looks like the end is actually the start for us in this episode.
A lot of people have got preconceptions and want to say, oh, after the stadiums, they're finished, that's it, they're all going to split up.
We're going to start going back in the studio and writing our third album, which is really exciting.
There's a few different projects coming up for all of us, but I think, you know, the album is the main thing at the moment, which we're going to be working on.
Yeah, we really want to take our time with it and just put out something we can be really, really proud of.
Let's fast forward to 1999. Now, this is where things get really interesting because mid-99, the girls are back in the studio to work on their third studio album. They apparently had about 6 months or 8 months off, but it seemed like they were just constantly working throughout. 99 was a busy period in Solo Spice Girls world. Go back and listen to our episode on the Solo Spice Girls, if you like.
Don't give them an option, David, if you like. So yes, as they would keep telling us in every bit of promo, even way before the album, yes, you know, we're working with the people that made the first two Spice Girls albums, but, you know, we're also working with Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis and Dark Child, and it's really exciting. There may not have been no Spice official releases musically in 99, but boy, was it a busy year. And as you said, we really do get into it in our solo Spice Girls episode part one. But for a fresh recap, David, what was going on in solo Spice World in 99?
In June, Mel B dropped her second solo single, Word Up, from the Austin Powers soundtrack. Around the time they started working on Forever, she was doing her solo album simultaneously with a lot of the same people as well. She was doing acting, she was doing presenting jobs, she hosted the Mobos. And then Vicky B, Posh and Beck's wedding that summer of 99, the biggest showbiz wedding of the century, really.
I had my Zoom birthday party back in April and the theme was David and Victoria's wedding.
I'm sorry, I don't think I even dressed up for that.
It's all right, I did decide the theme on the day. I had a lot of scary spices on that call.
Oh my gosh, yes. Were there any cowboy hats? I can't remember, I was so drunk.
No.
Emma had a cowboy hat at this wedding, didn't she?
Oh, I thought you meant at my birthday.
Oh, yeah, your birthday. One in the same. So also in October 99, Mel C released her debut solo album, Northern Star. At this point, she already had two top five singles. And then in the following year, she'll have two number one singles to add to it as well. So it's a good time to be Mel C.
And it's a great time to be Mel C.
Great time to be Mel C. And just to add to the craziness of it all, she had her first solo headline tour this year. And last but not least, our girl Emma had her first solo foray in November that year as well with What I Am.
There were two other things going on in 1999, which I just found out about myself. For Victoria Beckham, she had her Charlie's Angels screen test in 1999.
Oh, stop.
Which she actually described as went really well. And, you know, she was rumoured to be in it. And she was going through a lot of film scripts in that time. I really wish we'd seen some of them materialise because that would have been absolutely fantastic. In her book, Learning to Fly, she says Simon Fuller always said she'd end up being a Liz Hurley type actress. And I'm reading it and I'm
You're better than Liz.
Simon, you are selling Victoria short. She's a fan. Like, Victoria is a fantastic actress. She's a brilliant comedy actress. Obviously, Charlie's Angels is iconic and we won't want to change that timeless casting of those three
Imagine
girls.
Imagine if this is just her audition tape. It's just sitting on a shelf
Oh,
somewhere.
My God. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Like, the
VHS. I would love to see that.
Oh, my God. Who
especially,
has it?
Exactly. Especially as she says it went really well. She was clearly being considered for a role. What I would have loved for them to have done is to have cast her as a villain. You know how, like, Demi Moore played the villain
yes.
in the second one? She would have been so good as that.
Oh, I can just imagine the opening sequence, Vicky with long extensions.
Yeah. Well, you know, and a spoken bit. So come on then, Charlie. And then the other thing, which was brand new information to me.
Hit me with it. Go on.
Emma Bunton was due to be in I'm not sure if it was a TV movie or a feature film, but a musical adaptation of Sleeping Beauty.
And what?
She was meant to be Sleeping Beauty, and she was actually a recast of the original casting of Martine McCutcheon. So Martine dropped out, Emma got put in, and this was actually to be broadcast on BBC One at Christmas. And apparently it was having financial issues and Emma was brought in because they thought that will be really good for American backers. And the other cast was due to be Sybil Shepherd and John Barrowman.
Ooh, was he the prince?
It doesn't say. I guess because he was really young. So not really young, but I mean in his like young John Barrowman days. So,
yeah,
you know, musical theatre leading man. So, yeah, probably actually. So, yeah, it was meant to be on BBC One and shopped around to US TV networks. And unfortunately, it never materialised.
How wild.
What another great solo Spice project that could have been.
Imagine Emma Bunton as Sleeping Beauty. Wow.
And obviously you can really see it when it's said to you like that. I can see it anyway.
Right. So shall we crack on with the rest of 99 then?
Please.
So in November 99, just before the Christmas in Spice World tour kicks off, the girls release Forever Spice, a picture book, stunning reportage-style images taken by Dean Freeman from their 103-date sold-out world tour the year before. Thank you again. This is another Joel Babington gift for me. It sits in my living room now, pride of place. Gorgeous.
Gorgeous. I actually ordered two copies, one for me, one for you. Mine was all cut out, had loads of pages cut out in it.
How dare they?
I quickly, complained. So it's fine. But I was actually showing my colleagues at the time. I was like, oh, look what I've just ordered. And then I was flicking through.
Pages of hat.
Pages. And it was really funny. Everyone was like, oh. That is a gorgeous book, though. And Dean Freeman's done quite a few picture books with the girls and with Jerry as a solo act as well. That one you got me was a Dean Freeman picture book. The one where she's like on the front.
Oh, Jerry's
cover.
Second book. Yeah.
Jerry's second book. Yeah.
Do I have that one? Did I get myself a copy? One for Joel, one for me. Anyway, December 99, we're getting up to the Christmas in Spice World tour. Now, this in my mind seemed super huge, but actually looking at it, it was only 8 shows and it was only in the UK. So this completely missed me by in Australia. I'd seen pictures, I'd heard of it, so I don't remember seeing it on DVD, though.
No. So, I mean, you say it wasn't huge, but I would say even for like, and in the UK, you could have our biggest UK pop acts. They could do an arena tour that is 10 dates. So it's no small feat for a band that's been quiet, quote unquote, for a year to do a string of 8 big Christmas shows. I believe half are in London and half are in Manchester at big venues. It's actually a big Christmas event. It's by no means a small feat. And it really is quite impressive, I think, and just shows. It's a great way for them to say, look, we're still here. And no, unfortunately, it wasn't on DVD, but it was televised on Sky One. And in the heyday of the Spice Girls, they always just felt like Christmas when I was a kid. Because, you know, for 3 years they had a Christmas single and there was always a Spice Girls special on TV. They had Istanbul on TV, Back in Britain was on TV, and then I didn't have Sky, but then this was on TV. So there was quite a few years in a row where it was all about the Spice Girls. So before this live show, there was a documentary as well, capturing it, aired on Sky before the big one, as it was called. And they're all just saying how, A, they've not seen each other in ages, but they've been on the phone all the time. And, you know, they're hanging out individually, but they haven't been together as a group. But it is better than ever. And the vocals are sounding better than ever. I mean, that bit's not a lie.
No.
That bit isn't a lie. And the dancing is better than ever.
All right, are you ready? Come on, we don't have much time, and it's really important that you do this.
Ready? I'm giving you every thing. I'm giving you everything all that joy can bring, I swear.
Like, this show was brilliant, I thought.
But I wonder actually how much time they had to put together this show, because in that Sky documentary, Mel B was like, oh, you know, everything's really last minute. We're just getting it together. You know, if we had a month to get a show together, then we'd be really lazy. I was like, a month?
The norm is kind of like 2 weeks.
Okay.
Because I guess you'd have longer. What all the work before would be, you know, the MD, all the musicians, all the production. So if there's screens, the lighting, all that kind of, and the choreography, that all needs to be done day dot. And then the girls need to learn the show and they'll have about 2 weeks to learn the show.
Okay. To me, 2 weeks to learn a whole show seems like impossible, but I'm not a performer, so I don't know if that's like. But actually, come to think of it, no, it's still a challenge because this stage is circular. It's a round stage.
It's in the round. Well, I don't even go all the way around in my heels, you know. I just sort of totter around.
Vicky's quote. Iconic. And then Mel B jumping in going, oh, I don't know how you do it in those heels. You know, Emma and I changed our shoes.
And Mel C's just like,
I'm just wearing my trainers. This documentary is iconic for them teasing Vicky's vocals a little bit. There is one particular scene where they were with a vocal coach and, you know, I think the vocal coach was trying to be encouraging to her and said, oh, you know, you hit that note really well. and Mel B starts going, hana, hana. You know, just
it'll
kind of...
be all right on the night. I'm on antibiotics now. Do you know what? You can all just shut up.
And your chorus ad-libs were excellent. Just, oh, because the second time round, you went for that top note that you shied off the first time.
It'll be alright on the night. I'm on my antibiotics now.
It'll be fine. It's getting better and better.
No, do you know what? You can all just shut up.
Yeah, it's just cheeky. And
it's cheeky, but
I think they would all do it about each other. And isn't it mad to think that they're performing Holler here and it's not going to be released for basically a year? And this is being televised.
It's crazy. Like, how did this... how did nobody rip it and, like, leak the song online? I'm sure there probably was, like, some sort of LimeWire live version.
They also performed WOMAN from their forthcoming album. And they also performed Right Back Atcha.
Oh, my God.
Pop version.
Oh, my God. I forgot that was part of the set list. So this is where it's really interesting because we're getting an early insight into what the third album would have sounded like. You know, WOMAN is a big, brassy, disco pop banger. Like, it sounds very much like a close cousin to Who Do You Think You Are.
Huntastic.
But it's campy, it's fun. And
it's huntabulous.
It's huntabulous and, you know... any Spice Girls fan Facebook group you're in, at any given moment, there'll be hashtag justice for woman.
Who's got the woman demo?
To this very day, there's not been a studio version of Woman that's leaked. So
truly,
people are like...
madly, deeply, louder, baby, louder, yeah, WOMAN.
We should just record it here. Let's do a...
That could be the cover, you know, what I keep saying.
Right Back at you covers WOMAN.
And then, obviously, yeah, they did Right Back at you. And I love it because it was so... I mean, it's a strong narrative, isn't it? It's like, you know, and it's the classic, like, Mel B rap. We're coming right back at you, no RIPs, thinking about when we were all wannabes. And just so confident.
You make it sound like Keith Lemon there.
Look, I'm not talented like Melanie B. I'm not a strong northern rapper and singer. But I just love it's brassy. It's like, we've got a new song. Here's some new songs from our new album. Did you all like it? Yeah! And then you've got Emma going, come on, stand up. I know they're all telling you to sit down, but stand up and dance if you want.
Can't do that in these times, Emma. Sorry.
No.
You went to a socially distanced gig, didn't you?
I went to see Louise at the Clapham Grand. We have said on here, we're such big fans of the Clapham Grand and they really get pop music. It was so wonderful to see Louise because obviously, I mean, I've seen her load since the comeback, but her tour, the London date was cancelled obviously because of this year. So it was so great to see her perform. But... I did get a bit carried away because, you know, have some drinks and I was, you know, I mean, with pop music is the one thing that makes me a really excitable person. And I got a bit carried away and yes, we weren't meant to be. Well, A, you have to stay seated, which I did. And you're not allowed to cheer or sing.
Very hard to do.
Very hard to do, especially when at a pop gig. And you know what I'm like. And I got really carried away. At one point, she was singing Light of Her Life and there was this quiet moment. And I just shouted, I love you, Louise! And she went, it was so awkward. She just went, I love you too. And then continued singing. And then she later, well, someone else asked, there was questions and answers, which you had to submit before, and I didn't submit one in time. But they said, oh, whoever the question was, wave your hand. So someone waved who was like, basically, I was in the top tier. So it was someone sat directly below me. And she went, did you shout, I love you, Louise, earlier and make me forget the words? And I was like, no, that was me. Thank you very much. So apologies to Louise. I didn't mean to, I'm just an excitable fan. I'm sorry I made you forget the words. But thank you, Louise and the Clapham Grand. That was a really, really, really wonderful moment this year, and pop gigs are so sparse at the moment, obviously, so it was so wonderful to go to that.
I absolutely can't wait for us to be able to go to a gig again and just enjoy ourselves and, you know, just really be with everyone together experiencing live music again. Like,
yeah,
that would just be the dream.
And I think that's what made me feel a bit like emotional watching the Blackpink one, because obviously we haven't this year.
Mm.
It was just like, you know, we go to so many gigs together, which is some of like my fondest memories and things to do ever, me and you.
Same.
So
yeah.
It was just a bit like, oh, hit in, you know?
Yeah. But look, in these times, I'm watching more concerts than ever on YouTube and like anywhere I can find them, just to like recapture the atmosphere. And, you know, I think this whole concert, this Christmas in Spice World, is on YouTube, right?
Mm-hmm.
People have uploaded it, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So go in there, relive Woman, relive Holla Holla, Right Back Atcha, because, you know, they certainly don't do these songs, like especially Woman and Right Back Atcha live ever again, right?
Could you imagine a world where every year, maybe the Spice Girls didn't continue more than they had, but every year or every few years, they got together for a string of Christmas in Spice World dates. Wouldn't that be amazing? You know how like Mariah does the Christmas shows every year?
Mm.
Emma did her Christmas show last year. Wouldn't it be brilliant? Just like, you know, we're not saying it's a reunion or whatever, but we're just doing the hits, having fun at Christmas.
Yeah, throwing a couple of Christmas jingles. Yeah. Christmas in Spice World, a residency at Royal Albert Hall. Let's make it happen. Okay, so that is Christmas in Spice World. If you were lucky enough to be at those shows, please hit us up in the comments on our socials. Let us know what it was like, because that looked like an insane show. It looked like so much fun. Huntastic.
So this is as well the only time that we'll see that Spice Girls logo.
Oh, it's hideous, honey. I don't like it.
It's not hideous. They had a range of dolls using it. Like, they did use it on merch for a bit.
Yeah. So for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, it's this kind of semi-circle silver, kind of retro disco looking Spice Girls logo. Right. That's the one you're thinking of, right? On the tour poster, right?
Yes.
Ugly. I don't like it, honey. It just looks, it looks Poundland.
So you know what? Sometimes, Dave, you just keep your thoughts to yourself.
So they did work with an amazing new choreographer called Derek, which they talked about in the Sky documentary. And I don't know what he's done before, but he just seems like the most fabulous personality in this documentary. Because he was like, I love this line, Joel, where he was just like, for people who are ready for the juice to come, there's going to be more to drink this time. It's going to be hot.
It's going
to
be hot. You know, they got this new song, Holla Holla. It was just, he was just this fabulous American choreographer that, you know, just was pop, 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 it's going to be staccato. It's going to be edgy. It was just fabulous. And it was what they needed at that time. But also, shout out to their other choreographer, Priscilla, who had worked with them up until then, because she is amazing, amazing British choreographer. She's done a lot of work with S Club 7 as well. And she choreographed Out of Your Mind for Vicky B.
Oh, sick. Yeah.
So, shall we fast forward to the year 2000, a new millennium?
A new millennium. We are now at February 2000, the Brit Awards, where the Spice Girls receive an Outstanding Contribution to Music Award, which was presented by Will Smith. And, of course, this is the 2000s Brit Awards, the very same night that Jerry stole the show with her performance of Bag It Up with the giant inflatable legs, etc., etc. But the girls, the four-piece girls, went up and did Spice Up Your Life, Say You Be There, and Goodbye.
So, David, what you didn't mention is they also performed, as it was still called, Holla Holla. But that part of the performance wasn't televised.
How weird. Why wasn't it televised?
Apparently sound issues. But I think it makes sense that they didn't... I mean, it's one thing to perform it at your Christmas show. It's another thing... It's quite a wild card to perform it at the Brit Awards in March, when the single's not out till November, October. So it was only for the people in the room. But imagine that. I think that that performance, personally, is incredible. They're singing live. Their dancing is amazing. That a cappella they did of Say You'll Be There. So a lot of that stuff is like the same arrangements from the Christmas in Spice World show, which obviously makes sense. It's like a very cut down medley version of that show in a way. Even the opening positions is the opening positions from that show. I personally think it's amazing. I think Jerry's performance is amazing as well. I know she stole the press. But for me as a kid, I loved both. and I still love both, and I do think they were getting a well-deserved contribution to music, of what they then turn around and say it was for that, like, the contribution to the last decade, because people saying they got it too soon, blah, blah, blah. I'd give them every award as soon as I could.
Give your faves their flowers while you can.
Yeah, I just thought it was polished, professional. If there was anyone questioning what the Spice Girls could do as performers, they showed it to you there.
I was actually going to say that the mood of that whole thing kind of felt very closing of a chapter for the Spice Girls. You know, I think if they had televised Holla, Holla, then that could have put it in a better light, because it was kind of looking ahead to the new millennium. You know, we've got a new single out, a new sound, slick choreography. Let's show you what's next for the Spice Girls. But because that wasn't televised, you got the three greatest hits. One of them is Goodbye. Even though it's called Outstanding Contribution to Music, a lot of people read it as a Lifetime Achievement Award, which even makes it sound like, God, the curtains are closing on the Spice Girls, you know.
I think it was what it was. I think they put on a great show, but I think
it wasn't
a
looking forward moment, sadly.
No, and I think the feeling was looking forward, but the content wasn't. So maybe that's where the mismatch is.
Now, speaking of VB, we should just say the mood at the Brit Awards was a little bit tough for her. And you found out this from reading her book, didn't you?
I did. So unfortunately at this time, her and Brooklyn had received death threats, which is so awful. And just even the fact that it's just public knowledge and we're talking about it now is so weird, especially as people that, like, our ethos is that we love the music, but obviously this kind of gets weirdly intertwined. So she hats off to this woman. She was going through so much at this time. There's no way you'd see me up on that stage if me and my child had had those threats. But, you know, she kind of felt like she had no option in a way. And on the night, she thought she had gotten shot when the performance happened. So that she says in her book how there's these pictures of her, like, bent over, and the press dubbed it as, like, posh emotional with contribution to music award, and she's like, you know, I thought I'd been shot. That's what it was,
because there was like a loud bang on stage, wasn't it? It was like, yeah, one of the pyrotechnics or something, right?
So basically there was all these balloons coming down from
balloons,
the ceiling, that they
yes.
all pop, like they're meant to pop, but no one had told the girls that.
Oh God, especially after she's been getting death threats, like, you would give someone a heads up that there's going to be popping fucking balloons around me.
Yeah, and apparently, like, security was running onto the stage, like, running to get onto the stage and everything, and then they all must have realised that it was all okay, but what a frightening time.
It's just a tense night, like, yeah, you know, and you look at it and it's a great night in music, it's a great night for the Spice Girls being honoured, but what a memory for her personally to... You know, she can't help but think about all those things that was happening behind the scenes at the back of her head whenever she thinks back at that time now, sadly. In July 2000, the girls got back together to film two music videos for their upcoming third album. So there was Holla and Let Love Lead the Way. And they filmed these videos back to back in Elstree.
Jake Narva did Holla and someone else did Let Love Lead the Way.
Oh, really? I thought he did both.
Let Love Lead the Way was directed by Greg Musack.
Oh, okay. The name sounds familiar.
Yeah, he's directed for Kylie, Cliff Richard.
Emma Bunton solo stuff.
What Took You So Long? Yeah, well done.
Oh, my God. See? Oh, my God. How do I just know it? I just feel these things. It will never come up as a pub quiz question, but, you know, Greg Musack, I got you.
So, yeah, I think Holla, obviously, I think they're all really happy with how it turned out, but I think it was a very intense and laborious shoot for them. And then Let Love Lead the Way, they could relax a bit more and have fun. And
well, the first video was really quick.
Was it?
Because we worked with the director before. We did Who Do You Think You Are with him. But this one's a bit long because I think this director's a bit panicky.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because there's so much pressure on him. And we're all like, oh, I'm tired now, I want to go home. And he's like, no, wait. And lighting and, you know, everybody gets a bit stressed apart from us. But you just sit and complain.
So I find it really interesting that they shot the video in July when the single doesn't come out until October.
Yeah, so I think the single did get pushed back a few times.
Because I was wondering, like, was this intended for a summer release? Because apparently in March, Radio 1 announced that, you know, the comeback single was coming and it's going to be Holla. And then somewhere along the way, like a couple of months later, Mel C was like, oh no, the lead single is going to be Let Love Lead the Way. It just feels like plans were just evolving.
Yeah. So apparently, like, they all said, oh, you know, we weren't, like, in the interviews of this time, they're all saying, oh, you know, we weren't sure it was Holla. And then at the end, then we weren't sure what way to go. And then we left it up to Emma. And then, you know, we said, whatever happens in the end, Emma, we can blame you.
I wonder if it was also like a kind of scheduling thing that we don't have time to spread out two separate single releases. Let's just get them both out.
Yeah,
Because the year 2001 is just not going to be the one. Like, everyone's going to be busy.
I do think ultimately it became that. I think it's like, look, let's just do a double A side so we can get two songs out and the album out.
Mm.
So let's talk about the two songs. Holla, I think, is probably my most played Spice Girls song. If not the most played Spice Girls song. If you play my game, yeah.
I really love this song so, so much. Like, it's astounding, Joel, how much I listen to this song in the present day context. Like, I think I play this song every other day. I'm just obsessed with it still.
Yeah.
And probably more so than any other Spice Girls song, I think this has really had a long kind of enduring obsession for me. I don't know why.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't get it.
I remember just sort of instantly being fixated by this song when it was released. As a kid, I did love it instantly. This song, I didn't think, where have the Spice Girls gone? It's not the same. It was just, wow.
Cool.
It was cool. It was cool, and it obviously is so R&B, but it didn't, because it's just such a good song, it didn't make you think, oh, the Spice Girls have become something else in the way that maybe the rest of the album does.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
It was edgy. Infectious. It was edgy. Cool. Sexy. Edgy. Just like, wow.
I remember fucking freaking out and just being so excited, but also, like, similarly, very conflicted about, oh, what's going on with the Spice Girls? Because it's a little bit sexier, it's a little bit more R&B, but also similarly, this was the kind of music I absolutely loved at the time. You know, I was into Destiny's Child. I was listening to a lot of pop R&B, so I was very excited by the direction it was going in. But also I felt a little bit conflicted, like, okay, what's going on with the Spice Girls? Where are they headed?
For me, I was still in that world of just loving everything. So it was just like, I love it. And it was really exciting because I kind of felt like that when I remember feeling like that when Victoria released Out of Your Mind. I loved it instantly. And I remember other people maybe not. And that was my first, like, oh, okay. Why doesn't everyone instantly love this like I do? Because everything was so Spice Girls, everyone loves.
Because everything before with the Spice Girls, everyone had unanimously loved. So actually, yeah, I do agree, because this was probably the moment where they took a little bit more of a risk. They try to grow up their image maybe a little too quickly. I don't know. Maybe it's not quickly, but...
Yeah, I don't think too quickly, because obviously a lot of time had passed in a sense. But I guess for people that hadn't seen them since Spice World, yes. But then on the other hand, I think if the last thing I'd seen a few months before is Victoria Beckham in Out Your Mind, it's not that too far dissimilar to look at. So I don't think I was shocked. I mean, look, I was a changed person once Jerry left. I was broken. So I already knew the bitterness of the world. And I was ready for this.
What were your favourite moments in this video? Like, if you could pick a scene or a shot.
I think just Victoria in it at all. Obviously, Emma's high pony is iconic. Emma's got signature looks in this, I'd say. Like, the fringe and, like, obviously they're all in the dark leather outfits in the scene. But, like, Alex has this, like, black front leather vest. And whenever he wears it, I always say, oh, you've got your Emma Bunton in the Holla video on. Sometimes I borrow it. I think I wore it to your birthday party, actually. For me, this is Vicky's video. This is Vicky's moment. She stole the show in it, I think, in her shots where she, you know, she's sort of like flying
where
around.
She's leaning. Because she is, she portrayed the element of wind, right? So she, I remember seeing this video for the first time, and when it got to Vicky's shot where she was leaning backwards and the wind machine is just going through her hair, her extensions, and she had these tinted shades on. And I remember thinking, fucking hell, that is the future of fashion.
And you were right.
Like, that is fucking glamorous. And every now and then when the weather gets really windy, I like to pull out that gif of Vicky in this holo video with the wind.
Perfect for autumn.
Perfect for autumn. Oh, weather's a bit windy out there. Insert gif of Victoria Beckham from holo.
But so much so, we've just literally, as recording, celebrating 20 years of the single release, Victoria shared this on her stories, fab memories with the girls, and added Emma, Mel C and Mel B, but used obviously the video of her clip, rightly so, in that said scene.
I also loved Mel B's look in this.
We all know it, but it's like that, this video just like really shows you like, wow, Mel B is a gorgeous woman.
Stunning. I mean, God, like it's just, for her to have that opening shot where she's there in the first verse and it's just flames and just her skin, like just gorgeous, gorgeous woman, like just stunning.
And Melanie Chisholm represents Earth in this one and is levitating. It's like modern Sporty Spice, isn't it? Yoga Spice.
Yeah, really a kind of precursor to where Mel C is today. You know, all about taking care of your mental health, meditating, being zen, all that kind of stuff. So one foot in the past, one foot in the future, I think we can say.
I think steps can.
Which element would you have wanted to be?
Fire or water.
Okay, what would you have done with water?
Like, walked on it? Like,
like Jesus?
Yeah, or had like, psh, like, I would either, or no, I would be in the sea, but I would part it like Moses, but it would be like, like
airbender,
yeah,
style.
Like just dance, like dancing and pointing and going for it, but like all of this like flowing around me.
Yeah, I imagine you in your water scene to be a bit like Rihanna in the Umbrella video, where like the droplets are just suspended kind of in slow motion when she moves her arms.
Lovely.
I can
Thank
see
you.
That
what
happening,
element would
yeah.
you be?
Well, as a plant daddy, I would have to say Earth.
And what would you be doing with that? Dig in.
I mean,
Joel, we feel like your ideas are quite literal in this brainstorm. He could go digging.
What are you going to be doing? Digging. I said you could be Rihanna and Umbrella, and you're like, oh, David, you can just dig in the earth. Me as Charlie Limerick.
Charlie, I was going to say you could have your own gardening show. No, I guess you could have like your plant. You could be surrounded in this like, it would be nothing. And then all of a sudden it would be this forest. Because you're Earth and it all just grows up around you and you're like this ethereal queen.
Oh, love it.
And then obviously I'd like to be... Oh, wait, I'll talk about it in the next video.
Okay, you're saving your next element for
yeah,
the next video.
Yeah, all right. So yeah, pick what your second element's going to be. So I was water for this one.
I want to be fire.
Let's both be fire then. Fire squared.
You know, this was the flavour of the time, and I think it made sense for the Spice Girls to evolve with the time. And they achieved this by working with the number one pop R&B producer of that time, if we can say, Dark Child. At this point, he already had number one success with Destiny's Child, Say My Name, J-Lo, If You Had My Love, and obviously my eternal all-time fave, Brandy and Monica's The Boy Is Mine.
What I loved about this song, obviously I was too young at the time to really get like why Dark Child's so good, but I loved that the song just sort of had him on it, like saying Dark Child and then the holla, 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 come on, holla, 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 come on, come on, come on, because I would just sing this on my karaoke machine and not know any of the rest of the song. I had to get this album for Christmas, and I also got a karaoke machine. unfortunately for everyone else.
At the same time.
I put it straight in, put Holler on. And I also, that Christmas, I had to have the Forever album and Steps Buzz. And I had to put Holler on karaoke, not knowing any of the words, just jigging about and shouting Holler. There's video footage of that somewhere, which will never be surfaced or see the light of day. Christmas 2000 was an experience for everyone involved and the neighbours.
Speaking of ad-libs, shout out to the iconic Victoria Beckham ad-lib, which took me years to realise it was her, because I just assumed that it was Mel B or someone else. In the second chorus, so after the second verse, the chorus, there's this ad-lib, very signature. And come on, if you're listening to this episode, you're listening to our show, you already know this. Holla, holla, make you scream my name. Fala, fala. Da, da. That is Vicky, which even if you watch the Top of the Pops performance, they don't zoom in on her when she does that. There's no shots in the video, no frames where she's singing it, really. I think there was like a millisecond of a frame. But I wonder why. Why did she not want to be shown doing that?
Because this showcased her as a singer. You know, she has the singy part of this song. And shout out to us, David, because we filled in on this at the Spice World 2019 concert. We did those ad-libs in full.
Oh my God.
Together. Okay, shall we talk about Let Love Lead the Way?
Yes. Now, this one is a gorgeous, gorgeous ballad. And to be very honest with you, Joel, at that time, I didn't really have time for it.
I would say this is maybe the most forgotten Spice Girls single. And I mean, obviously not to the hardcore fans and probably not anyone that's listening to this episode. And I feel like on the two reunion tours, it was one extreme or the other. Like, people loved it like us or didn't really know.
You know, when it really dawned on me was last year. When they sang this live in that stadium tour, that was when it really hit me. Like, wow, this is really quite nice. There's a kind of beautiful airiness to the production that is really... And also, it's one of those songs that it could literally mean anything. It's so general, the lyrics.
It means to let love lead the way, David, I don't think...
Lead the way to where, Jolie? I need to know.
The future.
I'm not getting in a car with this love. We don't know where it's leading me.
We're going to go down the M25 and over the Dartford Bridge. I mean, Vicky would have Let Love Lead the Way to Brent Cross Shopping Centre.
What interview was that where she talked about Brent Cross
Well, we were shopping at Brent Cross, and then I saw that there was this guy who was in our movie Spice World as one of the strippers. So I go, oh, hi, you all right? Him and his girlfriend. And then I realise, and I remember, that he's only been selling a paper saying he shagged Emma in the newspapers, which is all lies, by the way, obviously. So I start shouting at him, oh, you know, do you know what you've done? Do you know what you've done? And David's saying, you know, stop it, you know, come on, babe, don't. And then, you know, he's giving it back. And then his girlfriend's saying, oh, don't do this, babe. And then I go to her, and you poor cow. Incredible. VB has just incredible things. I just saw it on Instagram. It might be from Victoria's Secrets or one of her specials, I guess, when she was releasing her debut album.
Oh my God. Incredible story and incredible retelling as well. I mean, the original Essex glam queen, Victoria Beckham. Yeah.
I thought that was me.
Rumford's finest.
Rumford has not had such a glamazon since Joe O'Meara.
I just particularly loved it when you just went, you poor cow.
And you poor cow. That's the bit. It's just the Brent Cross. So we were shopping at Brent Cross. And then it's all middling until, and you poor cow. That's the best bit.
That just really was the spice that kicked in. I love sassy Essex VB. It's something we don't really see.
Oh, it's lovely. Really nice.
I don't know how we got to Brent Cross, but that's where love leads.
Oh, that's where love leads away to. Brent Cross Shopping Centre. There you go. That's your answer. And then I passed it in the car the other day and I sent you a picture. It's so funny how these offshoot interviews happen that no one would think twice about. And then to us, these random places are then forever immortalised as Victoria Beckham or one of the... Like, Istanbul for me will forever be the Spice Girls. And it's just these
Do
random...
Do you think the residents of Brent Cross realise...
They should be a plaque. Victoria Beckham fought for the right of Emma Bunton here.
The battleground happened here. Quote, you poor cow.
We need to do an episode live, right back at you, live from Brent Cross. So we're told that this exact part of the shopping centre is where it happened.
Oh my God, this is a BBC News documentary piece, straight to camera.
We've now found the said poor cow. What was it that Victoria said exactly to you? She called me a poor cow, really. Shocking.
So let love lead the way. Oh my God, this has been the most fabulous segue ever. I did not realise we were going to Brent Cross when we talked about this single, but that's where we went.
So yeah, let love lead the way. I think it's interesting that it is unfortunately like the forgotten Spice Girls single, because it has at the root of it all the makings of a classic Spice Girls ballad. It was probably maybe one of, if not my favourite ballads that they've released as singles. Now, looking at it, so we're looking back, and this is me speculating and saying out of nowhere, they recorded those videos at the same time. They were then umming and ahhing what to release first. I wonder if one point in a meeting, if the label and the girls were spitballing around that, look, we'll release Holla in the September, the album in November, and then Let Love Lead the Way, let's try for another Christmas number one.
Ooh, that could have been interesting.
You know, maybe that was said at one point, or, you know, let's get it in the can while we can and then maybe release it there.
Yeah, because that music video, again, playing into the four elements, it's a little bit timeless. And also a lot of it was in a white backdrop, so it could render itself quite Christmas Top of the Pops friendly, isn't it? So, yeah. And this is the point where you're going to tell me about your second element. You want it to be fire, and what's your concept for it?
Oh, yeah. I want it to be fire purely because the infamous pop video, Farting Your Fires Out, farting with that flame fart.
The hearsay video.
Hearsay video. This with VB, shot the big flame farts coming out. Five in one of their videos. You're not a pop star until you set your fart on fire in a music video.
That's your big concept for wanting to do fire. Fart.
We really expected more from you, Joel. Look, I'm
first
sorry.
Fucking digging around in the earth and now farts.
So look, we must say this is a really beautiful, beautiful video. Classic. And look, I mean, if you've forgotten about this song along the way, let love lead the way to YouTube and watch the music video.
Amazing. Shall we get into the chart positions for our double A side single?
Please. So this was the Spice Girls are back at number one, where they belong, here in the UK. Ooh. Good on you, girls. Well done.
Everyone went out to Brent Cross Shopping Centre to buy their copy, yeah.
You know, they hit up HMV, Virgin Megastores, anywhere in Brent Cross Shopping Centre that you could have got a CD single at the time, they
actually
got it.
Actually, come to think of it, did the Spice Girls do signings for this, do you think? Or were they kind of a little too big for CD signings by this point?
I don't think they did. I don't have any recollection of, like, we look at a lot of Spice Girls pictures posted along the way and I've not seen anything.
Yeah,
like that.
Because the girls did certainly for their solo stuff. You know, Vicky went up and down the country famously for Out of Your Mind to do in-store signings. Jerry did lots of in-store signings for her solo projects in this era. But I can't seem to see anything with all four girls doing this. But they did get together for the book, though, the year before, right?
Yeah, did they do a book signing for that? I think they just did a press conference, didn't they?
I thought it was a press conference slash book signing, but it might just be a press conference, yeah. They ain't got time to sit around all day and sign these books, honey.
I'm not going to make it out to anyone. I'm just going to do my name.
And I'll do the rest in a car, yeah, on the way to rehearsal for my solo tour. So, yeah, sadly, no CD signings, because imagine, yeah.
No. But a number two smash in Australia, David.
Ooh.
Two in Canada. Unfortunately, in America, it was 12 on the bubbling under Hot 100. I mean, you know, still got somewhere, but still, it's still a fan favourite around the world.
And this is the third Spice Girls single to not chart in the Hot 100. You know, even Headlines chart in the Hot 100.
How is it the third one not to? What were the other two?
I think Viva Forever and Mama / Who Do You Think You Are.
Oh, really?
Maybe Americans are just confused by double A-side singles. Like, they just
maybe.
Don't get it.
And then also they had the albums and, you know, they were still huge. Where else? Scotland, number one. 5 in Spain. 3 in Ireland. 1 in Poland. 2 in New Zealand. Thank you, New Zealand.
Oh, not a number one in New Zealand. Ooh, shade. Shall we zoom in to what was actually happening on the UK charts the week that Holla charted?
It was a fight to the top spot for the Spice Girls. What an incredible top three that was.
I mean, what a time to be alive this was. So Holla / Let Love Lead the Way dethroned Steps' Stomp, which also debuted at number one the week before.
You can understand why I wanted those two albums that Christmas.
Yeah, that karaoke machine, yeah, definitely arrived at the right time. The week that Holla debuted, it managed to outsell two other big new releases, Martine McCutcheon, I'm Over You, which ended up debuting at number
it's
two.
McCutcheon, not McCutcheon.
McCutcheon.
You've lived here long enough now, David. You have to know our national treasures. If there's visa things, I'm now doing the retest. Pronounce Martine McCutcheon for me.
What was her big number two debuting hit? Got that wrong. Denied. Homeland Security, get this guy out. Get that fire exit door.
So, yes, Martine McCutcheon was at number two with the banger I'm Over You.
And Ricky Martin, She Bangs, at number three. I mean, what gay rights, right? Spice Girls, Martine.
Ricky.
Fucking gays went out and just emptied their bank accounts that week.
Woolworths, they were shook what to spend their £2 on.
Also, very interesting to say, the very same week that Holla entered at number one, three other solo Spice Girls singles were still on the charts. We're at number 46, Mel B with Tell Me. At number 53, up one spot, was Vicky B with Out of Your Mind. And number 55 is Melanie C, I Turn to You. Like, literally at number 55, 3 months after it went number one, Queen.
That's fantastic.
Heidi Rangers entered the room.
I always loved the Spice Girls. Okay.
So ultimately, Holla / Let Love Lead the Way spent 21 weeks on the UK charts, but sadly only 7 weeks in a top 40, which is fine. You know, it is what it is. The girls were busy. They didn't get around to doing as much promo maybe around this era. Also, I have to say, and I'm really kicking myself, Joel, that I didn't buy this back in the day, but the Australian version of this single had a different artwork where it was all four girls huddled up together and it was kind of like a backyard shot or something.
The standing up one.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. Vicky in that cow skin skirt, Emma in a brown leather skirt.
That's gorgeous.
Oh my God, on Discogs, it is being sold for 57 Australian dollars.
Do not spend that.
Bargain, let's get it.
Apparently on Discogs, there's a Japanese promo only of Holla / Best of Spice. And apparently it's a Virgin promo. I don't know how true it is, but it's using that old Spice Girls logo that you don't like. And it says, the one and only group is back. Spice Girls, brand new sensational single, Holla, plus super limited edition, Best of. And that has on it all the Spice Girls singles. So Holla is on disc one on its own. And then disc two, super limited edition, Best of Spice. It has Wannabe to Goodbye. And then it has Northern Star, What I Am and Tell Me on it.
Oh my God, a little teaser of the girls' solo projects. Well, was there anything else to say about this single, or shall we move to Forever?
Let's move to Forever.
Oh, I am so excited to finally get into this underrated album.
So on the 23rd of October, Holla and Let Love Lead the Way was released in the UK. And then following it up on the 1st of November, Forever by the Spice Girls was released. And let's get into that front cover and photography. It's definitely a controversial one between the fans.
I don't think over time it has softened my opinion of it. I think it's... God, like, were there no other better shots from this role?
It's very you know, simple in terms of like how Destiny's Child first album cover is.
I think, you know, having them in all black against a white backdrop just seems more serious. It kind of tells you that, okay, we are women now. The brief was definitely mature, sophisticated, timeless. We didn't want to look like some product of the 90s. It has to last, stand the test of time. I feel like that was the brief.
Yeah. And that does make sense when you look at it like that. If they're like, look, we were so, like, if you think of the 90s, you think of us now. So then now what do we look like? Because we can't just look like that. It's been 3 years since our last album was out. So the album's title was revealed through a poll on the group's website.
Oh, really?
In which fans got to vote for what the title would be, or at least they think they did. So the options of this was Forever, Third Time Around, and Spice 2000.
No.
So 30% voted for Forever, while 47% voted for Third Time Around, and 25% went for Spice 2000. But they obviously probably was like, well, it was always going to be Forever. We just thought we'd...
Imagine calling your album Third Time Around. You're not a comedy act. Let's get into the album, JB. This is the moment that we've been all waiting for. We've already talked about track one, Holla, and track three, Let Love Lead the Way. But let's not forget track two, the very spicy and, you know, a little bit aggressive in the gentlest, most vanilla sense of that word. Tell Me Why.
Tell Me Why, which was also used as a promo single for this album. Can you tell me why? Oh, why did we end up this way, babe?
Try and try again. Tell me why. Yes, we did. Oh, why did you feel you couldn't stay? We could have just stayed together. But you wanted it this way. Tell me why. Oh, why
did we end up this way? So I think out of the whole album, this is the one that was kind of rumoured to potentially be the second single, I think. So, I mean, I really like this song. I think it's kind of fun. It's upbeat. It's a really good track two, a solid track two of an album. I do like the narrative, especially if you look at it as track one's the big comeback single. Track two is the narrative of kind of what's happened since you last heard us.
I don't know how I feel about this being a single at all, you know. To me, it sounded a little too God. You're still like trying to get back at Jerry kind of narrative, like after so many years. Like, why are you doing an angry song like this?
Their loudest member, Leave, to have a very successful solo career, but she's always been a PR kind of stunty darling girl. And she used the death of her Spice alter ego to launch her solo career. So let them have a moment of clapping back, you know? I think it's clever to use it as a promo single, especially if you're sampling out to radio stations and media.
And we would have seen Vicky B on verse one. We could have had it all,
but you.
Bringing a little bit of the West End into this R&B track.
A bit of music hall to R&B, darling.
Theatre, darling.
Which is just what it needs. Downstairs at Brasserie's Adele, Victoria Beckham draped over a piano. Play Tell Me Why. Buddy.
Love it. So very tellingly, this is one of a few songs on Forever that Mel C did not write on. So, you know, it's been very famously documented here and there that the recording of Forever was done in lots of different parts and very globally done. You know, Mel C would often come in and write her parts or record her parts separately from the other girls because she was busy doing her debut solo album stuff.
So then we have Love Lead the Way, which we've spoken about. Track four, Right Back At Ya, our title track. This is where we started, you know. We were umming and ahhing. We were Pop Planet at one point. And then we was like, do you know what? Let's be Right Back At Ya. That's what we are. Third album, album track. That is us. I love this song. Now, this is a more of an R&B version. This is an R&B version compared to what we had seen a year prior at the Christmas in Spice World shows.
The more poppier production of the original one was scrapped because it didn't fit in with the album direction that was done largely by Dark Child's team. I love the pop version that Elliot Kennedy did, but I also love this one. I think it slaps even harder with an R&B beat.
I don't think it's as dramatically different as a lot of people have made out.
No, no, it's not. I mean, the essence was always there, yeah.
So the story goes, Jerry left. All the collaborators that they'd worked with before basically unofficially had to choose Team Jerry or Team Spice Girls. Now, anyone that chose Team Spice probably didn't end up actually being on the album because this is the only track with the old collaborators on. And anyone that, you know, went for Team Jerry, it was actually a good thing to do at the time because, you know, Absolute did the whole of the first of Jerry's albums. This is definitely the spiciest, quote unquote, track on the album, I would say.
This one and Goodbye were the kind of threads to the past.
Yeah, I think this would have been a good comeback single if they'd done a third album in 99.
Then we get to Get Down With Me, which is one of my favourites on this album.
Okay. And you better make it right. And you'll find out just in time. Yeah, it's a funky album track. I don't think it's single potential, but it's a really good album track. And I think it's very Spice 2000.
If we were in a universe where they were doing lots of TV promo for this album, you know how sometimes they do an album track on like Des and Mel. I definitely think this would have been a fun song to perform live. I love Get Down With Me.
So let's move on to Wasting My Time. Now, I'm listening to Wasting My Time and I've come from track one to track six and I think, is the issue with Forever that some of the tracks start to blend into one? Now you seem to think that you can't live your life without me. Sorry, baby, you can't do this to me.
Wasting My Time, I think it's fun. I think it's really, you know, it's got a really nice kind of disco-y melody and groove to it. I do wish it was production-wise a little bit more different.
Hun-ear.
Yeah, so
it needs
exactly
to be more like Essex Hun's Night Out. Like,
I would have loved it to be more disco because, you know, the especially when Mel C sings on it, I don't know what's going on. You know, it's kind of Bee Gees-esque vibe to it. They could have really made it a cool disco track.
Like how Emma did with We're Not Gonna Sleep Tonight single mix, Hun's at Christmas. This needs to be like Hun's reunion. This is what it needed to... The album as a whole, and I love the album, and maybe it actually does, but it needed to feel like a group of friends when you go home for Christmas and meet up with their friends. It needed to feel like Hun's reunion, like, and having a great time. And I think that element was missing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I do know what you mean. Yeah, it's missing a little bit of the fun. Like,
handbags on the dance floor and let's go for it. But in a classy way, in a classy way, not in a regional tour way.
In an alternate universe, we'll get a disco mix maybe for a single.
Yeah, in an alternate universe, the album would be called Forever Hun.
Hun's Forever.
This album as a whole, I really listened to it with open ears for this episode and I'm just like, this really does get better with every listen. And I think it was too much of a shock to people's systems at a time for anyone to digest it, unfortunately.
Yeah, it was, as Christina Aguilera said about Bionic, a little too ahead of its time.
We're now at track seven, Weekend Love, which was used as a promo single. It makes sense, you know, an album ballad. And I have to say, I absolutely love this song. I don't think it's only one of the best on the album. I think it's one of their best ballads. I like the way you made me feel that night. It's
something that I can't deny. But I've been hurt before, I can't take it no more. That's why, that's why.
Imagine back when they were promoing everything, Grindr's launched. Hi, we're the Spice Girls, and we love our gay fan base. This one's just for you.
La, 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 la. Swipe left to listen to the full track.
Yeah. Oh, he's fit, Victoria, don't you think? Oh, yeah, I wish he was straight. Download Grindr now. I really like this song. Maybe it is a bit cheesy, but I think it's cheesy in a grown-up, mature way.
But, you know, we just said literally a track ago there needs to be more Hun moments. And I think this is one of the more premier Hun moments on the album.
Yeah.
It's not my favourite song. I do think it's a little... I don't know, I think it's a little bit naff, but I can't deny that the melodies are good. And when Mel C sings that part, I like the way you make me feel inside. It's something that I can't deny. I'm like, that is a good melody.
Yes,
that
bitch.
That is a good tune. Yes, bitch.
Feels like that. You are waking up the next morning at someone's house listening to this song, you know? So it's taken what we've seen before, Two Become One, Too Much, a classic Spice ballad, and this is giving you grown-up Spice. It's taken that and it's a bit more mature.
Before you and I spoke about this, before this very moment, I never saw this song as a ballad. I think it's because, like, you've got this, like, northern rap in the middle by Mel B that really kind of shakes it up. Every time I look around, he's standing right there. I really don't want you and I really don't care.
And like, you're much more better. It invented Bag of Chips, that song.
And then, like, at the end, Dark Child and all my girls got my back like that. Yeah!
Or, yeah, it's like, literally, like, years ago, I went on two dates with this guy. Two dates that were a month apart. And, like, naturally, I ghosted. Like, I just, it was like, we've gone on two dates. I'm not going to text you and say.
It was just a weekend love.
It was a weekend. It wasn't even that. It was, like, two evening hellos. And then he really, like, was really rude to me and, like, you know, how dare you act like this, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, every time I turn around, I see you right there.
I really don't want you and I really don't care. Should have sent a voice note. Oh, my God, that is such a good, like, rather than ghosting someone, send them a Mel B rap.
Send them a Mel B rap. For me, to go from Weekend Love to Time Goes By, this is the bit of the album that doesn't sit right with me, if I'm honest. I would say this is my least favourite moment on the album. I've seen you, the one who now completes the half of me I used to be. The intro to me sounds like a very 90s demo played on a cassette, and I can't get past that.
I can't get past it either, and I felt that from the very first day I heard it. It kind of feels like, oh, I'm back at piano lessons and I'm at the Casio keyboard.
For such a polished, expensive album, this is a bit of filler, and I would take this off the album.
But listen, honey, I'll tell you why this is not my least favourite on the album, because I think vocally... And we know this from listening to this album. Vocally, this is a very strong showing for all four girls. They all sound vocally incredible on this. They really stepped it the fuck up. But
yeah,
this is a moment I feel like everyone's really flexing, especially the VB, who gets the bridge and she goes up against fucking Mel C. It's like that bit in Destiny's Child Survivor where Michelle and Beyonce have, oh. That was Mel C and Victoria having that moment.
I'm here for vocal spice. I'm here for vocal spice.
And then shall we move on to my favourite album track slash would-be never single?
So let's move on to the third promo single of the album, If You Wanna Have Some Fun.
Now, this is one that I play a lot to this day. You know, this is a classic Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, very chilled, sophisticated Hun's Night Out banger.
If You Want to Have Some Fun is a fantastic song. Now, did you know about Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis that they went to the Spice Girls tour in America and they went to them backstage after? They said to them, would you ever consider working with us?
Wow.
The same night that Prince went to see their American tour.
Wow.
So they were all chatting backstage and they said to them, would you ever consider working with us? And I think they were all like, pinch me moment. Like, would we?
I know for a fact that Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis don't work outside their Minneapolis studio. Like, no. You have to go to them. Janet goes to them.
But you're the Spice Girls.
I don't know. Well, did the Spice Girls go to them or did they come to the Spice Girls for these songs?
They came to London. I think they had like five tracks, music tracks ready to go, and then they all worked together on writing them. I think Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis came here because the girls, they needed to come to the girls. Real rarity. And again, let the girls co-write.
Yeah. And all four of them did.
So what we have to say about If You Want to Have Some Fun, the Spice Girls team created an official video montage for this song of all, you know, all old clips. And it was put on the Spice Girls website. So there is technically an official music video for this. I think this would have been a really good third single. And I think the single edit, again, could have done with being a smidge more Hun's Night Out. I think it would absolutely slap then. But
oh yeah, they
fantastic.
Definitely need to do a single edit for this. I mean, the song is 5 minutes 25, so they need to do a more snappier version.
Yeah, Hun's 312 radio edit. And I mean, it was kind of rumoured that it might have been a single, but unfortunately it wasn't. I think it would have been a lovely moment if the Forever Era continued. So then we move on to Oxygen. Now, I would say this is my other least favourite on the album.
I don't ever listen to this one.
And what's interesting is that even so far as recently, when Emma was releasing her last album, she said this is one of her favourite Spice Girls album tracks ever. So there's a clip of them recording this song in the studio with Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis. But it's one of those very cheesy, we're in the studio with, and they're all singing around the mic, but they might have been singing live, but it's dubbed on the
done for the cameras.
And like, you know, Mel C's like overdoing it in the way that she is, like, you know, it's hard when you're miming, like you want to like over, especially if like, I feel like Mel C might have literally just be hearing it. So you kind of overdo it when you're just hearing it.
So what was that you saw this in? Was it part of like an EPK for the album?
It was actually on like an American promo of like on the news or something. Like, Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis are in the UK working with the Spice Girls. We've had a look inside.
Oh, nice.
And it looks very like similar-ish time to Christmas in Spice World, judging by how everyone looks.
Jesus. So like literally a year before the album came out. Yeah. Why did they not put out this album around that time? I guess it just wasn't done.
I guess it wasn't done. That's why, and in Victoria's book, she literally says at one point, we had 2 weeks to get it done. I couldn't change anything. So I think it was just deadlines getting pushed and pushed back. And it was like, look, this has to be finished.
Mm.
Which is why it feels like both a really long, expensive job and a rush job at the same time.
And I just think, yeah, the delivery got pushed and pushed back. But you know what? It doesn't. I don't think it sounded dated by the time it came out.
No.
Not from my knowledge back then as a kid anyway. Like it. So you know what? For a 10-track album, which I see this as a 10-track album, plus Goodbye.
Because the first two albums were 10 tracks, it felt odd suddenly, all of a sudden, this third album had 11 tracks.
It's just, it's out of line. It's out of symmetry. But similarly, it was a number one hit and you want to put it on the album.
Oh, you've got to get it on there.
Yeah. And I don't think it sounds out of place. Especially after Oxygen going to Goodbye, it kind of feels like, oh, we're back in Spice World, we're back in pop music land, yeah.
Looking at this album as a whole, vocally, the girls have never sounded better. And they are all so prominent here. Every four, like, as a four-piece, every single member is front and centre, prominent, signature, stand out in a way that still works as a band. And especially our ad-lib queen, Vicky B, OBE. They all get chances to really sing.
This was the album the four of these girls were meant to make.
Were meant to make. Yes, that's exactly
because this
it.
Was exactly the kind of music they loved. They loved listening to R&B music. And this was more their vibe.
This is never the way an album would have sounded if Jerry was still in the group.
No way, no. But this was the perfect album for this lineup.
For this lineup, yeah. Victoria even said in her 2001 book that it's her favourite Spice Girls album. Mel C did a recent interview and she pinpointed Lovely the Way as one of the songs. I think she said if she had to cover a Spice Girls song as a solo album or something, she was really pinpointing out Forever and said, I think I'd go with Love Lead the Way. Can't exactly remember what the question was, but it was really nice to see her highlighting that,
yeah.
And acknowledging that. Because Forever for so long felt like the ugly stepchild of the Spice Girls or something that they never spoke about or made a joke about. And it's now that it's getting the light of day that it's really given time for people to acknowledge how great an album it is and that it's getting its vinyl reissue and let's enjoy it.
Now, before we get to the chart positions of Forever, very notable in the lead up to the first week's sales and the chart positions being announced, the Spice Girls held a rather messy album launch party in London. But the girls are giving you Forever iconic looks in here, like Vicky looking like a glamazon, very strong tan, straightened hair, highlights, green blouse. Emma, stunning in that gold suit and a bikini top underneath.
Emma looks like she's running a record company and going to the Brits.
Mel B's abs, like she's wearing this sequined.
Oh my God.
Oh my God, right? Midriff, sequined midriff, but with casual jeans. And then finally you got Mel C in full rock chick mode.
Rock chick!
In a Billy Idol top. Blonde highlights, bangs, edgy.
Yeah, it's such a moment in time. Would love to have been there.
At the same time, what was brewing in the background, and that was probably the source of a lot of the tension that they were feeling on the night, was this looming chart battle with Westlife. Westlife was coming out with Coast to Coast, and sadly, the girls' album, Forever, came in at number 2 behind Westlife. Westlife debuted on top with 234,000 copies in the first week and Forever sold 71,000.
Yeah, but like, it's just a shame that it's looked as like, oh, that's a flop. It's like number 2 album is so impressive. Like if we look back at every of our
exactly,
episodes.
But you know, we're in this time where the Spice Girls were untouchable.
And really unforgiving to the way that the press built these girls up. And then they're so quick to trash them and tear them down. It's like, no wonder they're not going to continue as a group.
But you know what? If they had picked another week, a week before, a week after, they might be number one.
It's just sad that we live in a world where Westlife
exists.
Get the number one over the Spice Girls. It's like, that's not human rights. And that's no shade. It's only a little joke.
But you know what? It's no shade. Yeah, we're just having fun here. And you know what? This is not the Coast to Coast 20 years of Coast to Coast episode. It's 20 years of Forever,
yeah.
And no one's talking about that fucking Westlife album today.
So
that's that. To date, Forever, the album, has sold 4 million copies worldwide. Upon debut, it made number 39 on the Billboard 200, number 9 in Australia.
Number 2 on the Malaysian album charts.
Are you being serious?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yes, Malaysia. I wasn't living there that time, so I didn't contribute to sales.
It would have been number 1 then. 25 in New Zealand. Come on, New Zealand. I expected more from you.
New Zealand. What happened?
True Bliss takeover. Number 6 in Canada. 15 in Ireland. What kind of hate crime is that, guys? Come on.
It's such a fantastic album. We don't feel that we have to scream at people and completely ram it down everybody's necks to go out and buy it. It's a good album. The music speaks for itself. It's a good quality album. And we don't have to scream up and all that about it, you know?
There are 4 prominent leaked demos from this era.
Now, we're not going to put the clips in the episode because, you know, we don't want no lawyers coming on to us. So we're talking about If It's Lovin' On Your Mind, Pain Proof, A Day In Your Life, and the original version of Right Back At You. Now, these ones were leaked under very bad circumstances. Famed producer and songwriter Elliot Kennedy was conned, basically, into releasing these 4 tracks. Someone contacted him under the guise of Simon Fuller, saying, I'm putting together greatest hits. I want to add 4 unreleased tracks. So Elliot went and bought a machine that specially digitized songs from tapes and got these 4 songs on, uploaded it to a server. And then it wasn't until he was in a room for a charity record or a Gary Barlow record that he was doing that he saw Mel C and Emma. He said to Mel C, oh, that's good, isn't it, about Simon Fuller putting together this project with, you know, we're going to have some unreleased songs. And Mel C was like, I don't know what you're talking about. That was when he realized, oh, shit.
Oh, God, that's really sad.
That's what Elliot said in an interview happened. But it's an interesting kind of capsule of that time in the creative journey of the 3rd Spice Girls album.
Very what potentially the 3rd album, if it was released in 99, could have sounded like. So, yeah. So this next track I've got listed as Give You What You Want.
I love this one. This is my favourite out of the ones that have leaked. And I actually even think the backing track in some of the melodies ended up becoming 5's When the Lights Go Out.
It's very the Spice Girls doing a Max Martin-esque song. I think they would have been criticised in a way. In a way, they got some of those criticisations. I don't know if that's a word.
Criticisms.
In the way they got criticised.
But I do like criticisations.
The way they got slightly criticised when they were releasing Forever is it's then gone from them being trailblazers to then kind of following the trend. And that was a criticisation. That was a that was a criticism that Forever had.
We're going to keep that in. I love criticisation.
I'm like, Mariah, darling, anything is Lee. You had a Lee to in it. They got criticised Lee. And I think if they had released it in 97 or 98, it would have felt like fresh and funky of the time. And if you look at Forever as a potential 4th album and this track, Give You What You Want, as a potential 3rd album, that just to me seems like a really perfect timeline.
Yeah, it would have been more consistent and more gradual in the kind of maturation of the Spice Girls sound. Now we're going to move on to something a little bit more edgy and unexpected, definitely on the path of experimentation in the studio.
I think this one is dead rocker. If like Kimberly Walsh has gone dead rocker, that's what it's like.
We've got the killer rock chick track, Pain Proof.
This could have been a real American soundtrack moment on a film or TV. Kind of like, imagine how Walk of Life was during that 2nd album era. It's a way to get something different out there while they're doing something so prominent on their album. It's a way of getting a taste of something else out, which they did during Spice World. You know, Walk of Life appeared elsewhere, and it appeared on the Sabrina the Teenage Witch soundtrack. They performed it on tour. I just think there is a way they could have crept something so different out there, and it does sound very American soundtrack. There's a shame that we had no B-sides in this era.
I mean, fair enough that you're like, okay, this album is a Dark Child thing and we don't want to use stuff from previously, but yeah, just throw it in as a B-side, love. Like, let the fans have something extra. Okay, so that's Pain Proof and
A Day In Your Life.
A Day In Your Life. This is nice. This is like an Emma Bunton B-side to me.
Very nice Spice in capital letters. So speaking of B-sides before, I think this one would have been a really lovely B-side to Holler and Let Love Lead the Way. you know, the album was released and it did feel like it kind of ran its course. You know, after the release of the album, the girls performed Holler at the MTV Europe Awards in mid-November. And then that was kind of it for the Spice Girls in Forever.
Once the album came out, Mel C started going in the press and go, oh, you know, really not sure about the future at the moment. We're going to see how everything goes, but there is no Spice tour next year. And then come the start of 2001, it was like Emma's going, oh, yeah, you know, it kind of ran its course.
Albums come to a natural end.
And we all have solo projects scheduled, so there was no time for it. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, guys, tell us what you think you would have liked to have seen as subsequent Forever singles. Let us know on our social medias. Let us know on Instagram. Leave us comments. Send us DMs. Tweet us. We want to see concepts, honey. Music video treatments. Let's really make this a 20 years of Forever celebration.
Also, let us know if you have any of that rare merch, any of those rare CDs. We want to see them.
I just know someone following our podcast and following us on socials would have something. Like, there seems to be some real collectors out there that follow us.
Which nicely takes us to, you have been listening to Right Back At Ya, the 2000s pop music podcast. If you're not already, follow us at Right Back Pod on all social platforms and leave us a 5-star review because we could be reading that out on a future episode. If you want to follow me, I'm at Dr_JoelB on all platforms, and he is
at LoveLimmy.
In the meantime, as the fabulous Grace, one of those faces, says, extend the tour, girls. Extend the tour. All right, this has been so much fun. Girls, we love you so much. Until the next time, bye.
Bye.